This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hello, Chicago!
Hi, Joe Buck.
Joe Buck.
You know that Spieggs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need.
Clearly, greed has taken over. You've got nice, thick, coarse hair. Yeah. And the idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag.
All right.
Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on...
The voice of Monday Night Football.
Goff. Here's a little lateral to Williams, and he's down the sideline and gone for a touchdown. And Ben Johnson loving every second of it.
Play-by-play legend for over 30 years.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series.
I mean, I grew up in the Cardinals broadcast booth.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner!
What a team. What a run!
That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Joe Buck.
You're talking to a music theater kid.
Have you ever changed a toilet roll? I don't think you changed a toilet roll. I have changed another toilet roll. And now there's a full one for you.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, and it's like, wait, what's going on? Look, we switched shows with middays today because we have flights to Las Vegas that it'll be easier for us to get to if we're not on from 2 until 6. It kind of limits the possibilities of flights for us if we're on until 6 o'clock. So we're doing middays today. Middays is doing our show. Layla just got here, so Layla and Marshall will be on from 2 until 6, and then we're going to be at Circa tomorrow at Stadium Swim from 2 until 6 Thursday and Friday for opening day and the tournament returning.
That means with Major League Baseball's opening day tomorrow, we should check in with noted baseball broadcaster once again. That man is Joe Buck, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Before we get to the baseball on the opening day, how much time in the studio working on the toilet roll song that was featured in the open and that went viral. That was a lot of really good musical thought and performance that you brought to fruition, Joe. So congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you. There was a lot that came together for that. First of all, my love for the movie Frozen, movie/musical, having had daughters and now little boys. So that was in, that song is always in my head. Do you want to build a snowman? So there's a lot of things that I can put to Do You Want to Build a Snowman. I just get tired of changing the toilet roll in our bathroom every time. Like it's always empty, which means that I wasn't the one that emptied it. And yeah, just one time, change it up and surprise me. It's the little things. These are the languages of love, Matt, mm-hmm. that you need to really tap into.
I do.
Did you face any backlash for the song?
In-house backlash?
Yeah, in-house.
I had no backlash for that. I mean, I did shatter her ankle with a golf ball, so
it's true.
Singing a song about the toilet roll probably isn't going to, you know, get any eyebrows raised or move the needle.
Yeah. Which one did you have to pay for more in-house, you think?
You know, I think that, well, the ankle has been the gift that just keeps on giving. This poor woman has not been able to put on a normal shoe since last July.
Wow.
So she can only wear Uggs, and her foot is so sensitive with the nerve damage that she has to turn her socks inside out because that little stripe that goes across the toes is too annoying to her. So she's been unbelievable. If the roles were reversed, I would wake up and go to bed every day reminding her that she has hurt me for the rest of my life. She has never said it one time.
It's amazing.
So she's a very special person.
You are living at a deficit, and she's not pointing at the scoreboard every day.
No.
That's phenomenal.
No.
That's phenomenal.
No, she's not done it one time.
Yep.
And thank God, because it would have ruined our marriage. And with one swing of a golf club, and one short flight of a golf ball would have ruined our marriage, and I would be 0-2.
Joe Buck is doing Yankees and Brewers tomorrow on ESPN. Joe Girardi and Bill Schroeder will be his analysts. One former catcher from each team on each side. Are you excited to do a ball game, Joe? And do you have like an old scorebook? Like, did you get to go through your stuff and break out an old scorebook, old pens, old baseball accoutrements at all?
Yes, no, I did. And the funny thing is, the scorebook that was most readily available, it's got like 3 pages left in it. And if I go back one game, it's like 2013. So
wow.
I'm looking at lineups one page back from, I think one of the games involves the Cardinals. I think one of the teams is the Cardinals. The other one may be the Cubs. I don't know. But yeah, one page back, it's 2013. One page today, it's 2025, opening day at Yankee Stadium.
That's amazing. Have you done any spring games at the kitchen table or anything like that, like to practice scoring?
Yeah, I just make the boys just run around, and I'm like, okay, Wyatt, you get it first. Blake, you're at the plate, two out, 3-2 count, so the runner's going to go. Wyatt, you go on the pitch. Wait, we need a pitcher. Michelle, she can't do it. The foot's bad. Let's get my other daughter to fly into. Yeah, no, I haven't done anything. I don't even know if I can still do it, so we'll figure it out.
It's exciting to have you back on baseball, and a lot of people are worried, Joe, about like this relationship between MLB and ESPN. I have now come all the way around where I thought the separation was going to be something that ended up being bad for baseball, to now feeling like ESPN's going to be a part of this. They're just going to break this thing up into multiple networks and streaming networks. I think baseball is going to actually end up on the better side of this deal. How would you describe the relationship right now between MLB and ESPN?
I will say that I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of it, but I do know that my ultimate boss, Jimmy Patero, is a diehard baseball fan, is a baseball fan first, and is a Yankee fan. And Burke Magnus, who's his number two, and my other kind of big-time boss, is the same. So to think that ESPN is just going to go, oh, no, we're done. I just don't believe it. But that's just my opinion. I have no idea where this whole thing goes. And I think we're kind of, whether it's baseball or streaming with the NFL or, you know, all these different streamers that want to get into sports, we're at the Wild West time, kind of the precipice of all that. So where it all goes, I have absolutely no idea. But I do know that if the right deal was there for ESPN, and I would assume Major League Baseball, then that relationship would continue. I find it too hard to believe that there's not mutual interest on both sides.
Our friend Boog Shambi was on the show a few weeks ago, and he said that he thought that baseball needed ESPN more than ESPN needed baseball. And I agree with that. I agree with that. I wonder if you agree with that. Like baseball would benefit from all the things that ESPN can do, has done, and could do.
I agree with that. I do. I think, you know, with regard to streaming games, you're only as good as the desire for people to jump through the hoops to get to the streaming service to see your games, whatever kind of audience you can get. The NFL has proven that if they put games on Amazon and the game's good, people are going to want to see it and they're going to find it. People are going to, on Netflix, want to go on Christmas Day and find NFL games. The question is, will they jump through the hoops to see baseball games, or does it benefit both sides if ESPN, which is, I think, a lot easier to find on your television? Maybe not. I mean, I don't know how the younger generation thinks of all this, but at least for me, as a 55-year-old man, I can get to ESPN a lot quicker than I can get anywhere else, and I find my thumb going to that on my remote, which means I may fall into a game that isn't appointment TV, but I still may watch. And I think there's some, I agree with Boog, I agree with you, that I think there's, in on the balance of it, I think baseball does well, or would do well, to reevaluate that and get back in with ESPN. That's just my opinion.
When it comes to you having the game of the week every Monday night, you and Troy doing your thing, and now going back into baseball mode, where you know how it is in football, it's live or die, like every single week. With baseball, the inventory is so huge that you want to be excited, especially on opening day. How do you quell that versus what postseason baseball or regular season football looks and sounds like as a performer?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I'll probably err more on the side of being too excited than being low key, but it is different. I mean, when you're doing games, and if you're doing it for a team, you're not going to treat a Tuesday night in Pittsburgh the same way, or Houston or whatever, the same way you're going to treat a game 7 of a World Series or a standalone Monday Night Football game. But I think with me having 4 years of sitting around not doing baseball, the first ground ball, the second, I'll probably pull a groin calling it because I'm so excited to call a ground ball to second base. So that's I don't know how it's going to come out. And I'm working with two other guys. So two guys that I know personally but have never been in a booth with. So we're going to be stumbling around, I would imagine, at the beginning of it, kind of finding a little bit of a rhythm. But I think it makes sense that, you know, for me to jump back in, it's day one of the season. You've got Brewers fans that are dying to see how they start the year and want to hear about the Brewers. You've got Yankee fans doing the same. For both teams to kind of feel represented, I think, makes a lot more sense on day one. So I will lean on them. I'm not going to be the one that you're going to hear the most. I'm going to try to get out of their way. I think that's the best way to do it. And then, you know, if a play happens that requires a big call, I'll try to get to it and do it justice. Mm. But, you know, it is one of 162.
Joe Buck, you called, what, 23 World Series? Do I have that right?
24,
excuse me. I'm so
sorry. So oh, incorrect. You had it
damn
wrong.
Damn it. Damn it. I'm sorry.
So yeah, I mean, I wish you could have gone over and I could have corrected you and said, no, I didn't do that many. I did 24.
Right. Don't worry. No. It sounds worse for me than it does for you. But yeah, so 24 World Series.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I think, but like that first deep drive to left, Do you have the same reflexes? Is your read off the bat going to be just as good as it ever was? I wonder if you'll have a moment of feeling that tested at all.
Yeah, I probably will. I think you know, like I've told you, or maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I think you always read the outfielder, and so sometimes you get faked. You get faked out by the outfielder if they give up on something that is not a home run, or vice versa. So I think reading the outfielder and, you know, just trying to take it slow. I'm not going to do any calling home runs the second the ball leaves the bat. I think that's a recipe for disaster. But I think I've done it long enough, 35 years of it, being in the booth with my dad since I was zero. I think it's still in there somewhere. I just got to find it.
Joe, you have told me that. Very good, valuable advice. I think you told it to me either on the first time you did the PBP Voices of Baseball, or the second time you did the PBP Voices of Baseball, or maybe it was on a Sunday morning show, or maybe it was on a show with Parkins, or maybe it's on another time that you were on with Lawrence. I've asked you to do a lot of things. I'm full of questions and requests, and you always say yes, and I believe I have yet to do anything for you. I believe that's still where we are, that I've done absolutely nothing for you. Is that your recall at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't really recall anything that you've done for me, although, you know, my memory is long. My life may be short, but I will somehow even this out. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I will find you.
Oh, I love it. It's coming. It's coming. The request. I'll be ready. Whatever you need. But I can say that my partner, Lawrence Holmes, is already doing something for you. Lawrence, tell the man and tell the people what you're doing.
I'm really excited because when we get back from Vegas, the quarter begins at DePaul University. So it's funny. Like during the break, I literally signed my contract to teach. And Joe Buck's book, Lucky Bastard, is going to be featured inside of my class with my students, because I think there's a lot of good lessons for them to learn as young broadcasters. The stories are funny. I had to get it approved, which was fun. I had to go to my department chair because, you know, like he's not out here just cussing or anything, but there's a couple of adult themes that are inside of the book. So I had to have my department chair clear it. And they cleared it, and I was like, this is going to be great for the students. So weeks, I believe, 7 and 8, the way that my lesson plan goes out, we are going to spend some time with Lucky Bastard. So
that's pretty cool.
It's become that's one amazing. Of my favorite books, and I thank you for writing it. It was good for me, too, Joe, because it allowed me to kind of go back over some of the fundamentals. I always say that I'm the best version of myself when I'm teaching. So having you go through, hey, here's some of the mistakes I made, sharing that type of stuff, to see someone at the top of the profession having those same type of anxiety moments is going to be good, I think, for my students.
Well, that means a lot. And I'm glad, I'm really glad I wrote it for a lot of different reasons. It was more therapeutic than anything. And I remember when I was in the meeting with the publisher, with my agent from CAA, I said, you know, I don't care if we sell one copy of this or 1 million. And the agent almost fell off his chair. And I was like, I just want to write this because I want to get it out. I want people who think they know me to actually know me better. And at least it's out there and part of public record, that if, you know, you have an opinion on who you think I am, then take two, you know, whatever it is, two extra days to, if you care that much, to go read about, you know, what I think I am. And I might be way off, but I tried to be as honest as I could be. And I tried to be as raw as I could be in it. And I'm glad I did it.
We're glad you did it, too. And Lawrence has now passed me as friend. I think Lawrence
I think Joe and I should actually hang out.
Oh, man.
I know where this is going. This is going to me coming into your class and speaking.
Joe, I would never. I would honestly like never impose
well,
that.
Matt would ask.
Yeah, okay. I would never.
Oh yeah. I should have made up a fake class and a fake college, Joe. Like, I teach at Spiegelian University, and I really want you to.
No, Joe. Here's what I think. I think you and I need a support group, because, like you, Matt Spiegel's done nothing for me. So I think if we build the support group together. maybe at some point we can just overthrow them.
I can't believe I said that.
Look, we joke, and I know you're joking, and Matt's great. But I do think more of you now than I do him. So thank you. And I am happy to be around anytime to either zoom into your class, or if I'm in the neighborhood, I'll come in and I'll double down on whatever I said in the book and nurse those who have read those bad words that I wrote back to health.
All right, but Joe, what's one thing that you could use from Spiegs in exchange for coming on the show so many times? Like fantasy, whatever. Like what's one thing that Spiegs could give you?
I think guitar lessons.
I
love that.
100%. 100%. Not from me, because I can't. But like my guy Kurt in Tributosaurus, he's a genius and a wonderful teacher. And his basement is one of my favorite places in the world, Joe. You would love his basement, surrounded by stuff. So
Then let's just do it, get weird.
Okay.
Sit down there and learn the guitar.
I like it. A couple quick things just to want to get out in front of this. Why do you hate the Brewers and why do you hate the Yankees? Why do you hate both of them? Do you have answers yet?
Yeah, no. And I got to come up with something between now and tomorrow at 3
okay.
Central.
Any Ben Johnson stories? We're very excited. We do a lot of Bears in this offseason, man. Ben Johnson and coming off the Dan Campbell tree, we're dreaming of big possibilities here.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, I think they swung for the fences and they connected. I think they got the right guy. I think Caleb's in great hands. I love what they're doing with the roster, and they're adding to what was already a pretty good roster. So, yeah, I'm very hopeful that this gets the Chicago Bears over the hump, because the league is better with them being great. And, living in St. Louis, hopping over to Chicago to do Monday night games would be a joy.
Well, you know who'll be listening. He's going to be listening tomorrow to your baseball game for sure.
He's probably listening right now.
He always listens.
Actually,
here's a text from George at Hallis Hall. George up at Hallis Hall.
I would just like to say for the record that I really enjoy when you do Bears games, Joe.
You kill it, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know what he doesn't know is that my grandfather played for his grandfather.
It's in the book, Speak.
Yeah, no, I know. Your grandfather played for his grandfather.
Right?
It's amazing. He doesn't know. He should know that.
He struggles with some of the history of his franchise, which was noted a couple of years ago when they brought out uniforms that they were celebrating and then didn't realize that the players that were in them were the first black players to ever wear them. So,
when that all broke, and we're talking in code here, it's all good. I was okay. I did not cry myself to sleep. Yeah. I took it as a badge of honor.
Well,
I'm good.
I don't care who they put on. When Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
No. It's disgusting.
It
disgusting.
He and 30% of the other viewers.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That he came up with my name makes me happy.
There you go. He's watching. Thanks for watching, George.
Joe, yeah. You're the best. Thank you for your time. You're way too generous with us, but we appreciate it. Even if Speaks,
I'm happy to come on.
Even if anytime. Speaks won't say it, we appreciate it as a show and as a station.
Whatever.
Good luck with the call of the first game.
Trying to steal a friend.
Thanks. I like this guy.
I know you do.
Thanks for being with us, man.
Thanks, Joe.
That is
all right, guys. Thanks,
buddy.
Joe Buck, I love talking to him.
He's great, man. There's something I do give him that I'll never tell you guys about. We have a thing. We have a thing that I believe there is a currency.
Like Mrs. Jones, you guys have a thing.
We got a thing going. No, not like that.
Okay,
not like that. Thanks for asking.
Mrs. Jones.
And then I met Buck.
Oh, man. So that's fun. So we'll arrange the double visit. Ooh, double visit. He'll come in and teach. Speak in your class.
I don't want him to feel that. That was not the point of the book. The book just, it really hit me. And I was like, the kids can use a lot of the lessons that he learned.
I understand. And I need to get him in Kurt Morrison's basement for some guitar lessons.
I did think that was a little creepy. You're like, I got a friend with a basement, Joe, that you can come and hang out in.
Just climb down this well.
His basement is one of my favorite places.
Just climb down here. I promise I'll fish you back
out. And then all of a sudden, the music starts playing. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. I was thinking Goodbye Horses from Silence of the Lambs, but either one works. Absolutely. He's the best. Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score.
We're sitting in for middays. Middays is sitting in for us so that we can get out to the airport. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, why don't we go back to a conversation about the Bulls and the guy that we love hearing talk about the Bulls, and that's Billy Donovan. We'll share some of the things he's saying about where this franchise is at this point next on The Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.